Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Do do do. Now.
All right. Butts. There we go. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's some people. They just love their giant, you know, Mod Deuce 50 caliber guns.
You had a mortar.
Yeah. Mortars.
Yeah. Hey, you know, in case someone pulled up in a tank.
I mean, you're not gonna do much with a mortar in a tank. I mean, it's got to be a pretty big mortar if you're gonna do it. I mean, I don't know what size mortar your grandpa had, but
It was big. It was really big.
Yeah. Well, I don't really know anything. All I know about mortars is that there's light, medium, and heavy, and what their template damage is in bolt action. So that's pretty much all I know about mortars. I could tell you, I'd be like, well, for that point cost, Grandpa, for that point cost, I don't know. It's not going to take out that many of
it's not efficient.
Communist Chinese soldiers are going to be coming over. So it'd be okay. I mean, it's pretty good if they form a trench line probably outside your property. You know, you might be able to take it out there if
there
you get
you
the
go.
Range in.
Let's get the templates.
But, yeah. But of course, you know, moving to version 2, we're going to have to use templates instead. So you're not going to get the 2d6 damage. You're only going to get a 4-inch template. So it's a little different. It's a little on that end. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Game Classy. I am your host, Donald Trump, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Donald Trump.
Are we both Trump?
Yes, we are.
Oh,
it's the only way we could be safe. Oh, I kid.
Unfair.
Everyone. Unfair.
Sad.
Sad. I know that a lot of our foreign listeners are probably like, oh, I can't wait for them to rag on Donald Trump this entire podcast, but I don't got it in me anymore.
I mean, an anticipated outcome happened. Shocker.
It wasn't anticipated, I don't think. I mean, it was. For many groups anticipated it. But, I mean, It was a little...
For it not to have happened, you would need to have faith in Americans.
That's... You know what? You're absolutely correct.
And I do not.
You are absolutely correct on that point. I mean, I made a pledge to myself that I'm not going to... I'm not going to be that type of person who's going to constantly like see what he did, you know, that type, because that happened. I mean, it just happened 2 days ago. I mean, the vice president or elect went to see Hamilton on Broadway, and you know, they didn't say anything terrible. I mean, they just basically said, you know, like, hey, look out for us.
Don't electrocute us, please.
Yes.
And he was just like, I'm getting the car batteries ready.
I mean, it was, you know, like that. And then, you know, of course, it turns into a big firestorm, which is, not a firestorm, but I mean, like a Twitter thing.
And, you know, a Trump storm.
Why? All he's doing is he's just distracting you from the fact that he just had to pay out $25 million because on a settlement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, just... Don't, when you try and get on these like stupid things that these little things you do, you're missing the big things that he's doing.
He's got to drain that swamp right into his cabinet.
Trump. I mean, it's stuff like that. So it's like my thing is mostly been lately. It's like if you really hate what's going on in politics, work to change things locally and, you know, on a state level, you know, don't sit there and fume for 4 years because of this nonsense. Sit there and try to get it to change.
I say arm yourself and stay indoors.
Well, you have your M1 Garand with you. It's a pretty decent weapon. It gives you the
ability. Reliable.
It allows you to move and shoot in bolt action version 2.
It's so reliable.
I mean, that's, as I could say, all I think I know about weapons, I know from from War Games. You know, I all the changes and everything, because in my opinion, I mean, if you know, if someone rolls up in a tank, you're going to want a las cannon. But I don't know how that's going to work in this edition. I haven't played in since like 5th edition. So let's...
You really want a multi-melter?
Yeah, do you want a multi-melter? Can we get one of those? I have a heat gun at home. It's kind of the same thing, right?
It counts.
Yeah, I mean, like, yes, I am incredibly disappointed. But I can't sit there and just... rail on the guy for the stupid little crap that he does every day, because if I do that, I'm gonna get tired, I'm gonna wear myself out. If I want change to happen, I gotta make it happen. So that's basically the way I'm looking at it right now. I mean, granted, it's great fodder for a podcast, but You know, what else are you going to do right now, aside from try to affect change?
As James put it, the U.S. and the U.K., special needs relationship.
It really is. I mean, we pulled a Brexit. We pulled a bigger Brexit than you could possibly imagine.
Then France is next, and then... Oh, there's a couple other ones. They're all there. It's the exact same thing's happening. There's like the populist, like nationalist dude running against like the moderate, moderate liberal who's like, well, let's just stay the course, and they're just gonna lose again terribly, yeah. And it's gonna keep happening over and over. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's just reactionary swings. It tends to happen like this in politics, and if you want something to change, you gotta help make it change. Volunteer for a local board.
I still say that we should have actually really done the real popular vote election, which means no one would be elected. Because the real winner did not vote, which by a landslide.
Yeah. I mean, like...
So, no new president, I say.
I mean, there is something to be said about that. I mean, like, you take into effect game theory... into account, not like game theories in the philosophical, like theoretical mathematical game theory, but if you don't get 50% of the electorate, or a majority, or over 50% of the majority electorate, we hold a new election where the other two people are not eligible to run. So let's do that instead. I mean, that would make sense, but we don't want things to make sense in America.
Apathy carried the election, that's all,
pretty much. I mean, you can make as many excuses as you want, but
it's not really an excuse. It's just a literal fact. I mean, Trump won with less votes than fucking Romney got.
Yeah.
Like, he has less, but he still won.
Yeah. Got less than the person he ran against.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Electoral College is a thing, but.
Yeah. I mean, as I say, it's like the shit's in place. We've already done it. We can't do anything to change what happened. I mean, like, there's people online like, well, if the electors, I'm like, no, let's not.
I mean, even then, it doesn't matter. All the branches of the government went red. So even if you like had your dream of Trump not being president, it's just going to be another 4 years of nothing.
By the way, we're not talking about the presidential election. We're talking about your stinkiest gamer election.
That's right.
That's what we're talking about.
That's right.
Which, by the way, Magic players dominated. They with over 50% of the vote.
But as I said, as I am the Electoral College, unfortunately, the stinky gamer presidents were the miniatures gamers.
I don't remember writing that into the Game Classy Constitution, by the way.
I actually really I wanted to, as I was running the wildly explosively popular 10 voter Twitter survey, I was thinking I actually should probably do a per capita thing.
Per capita.
Because there's so many more Magic players than miniatures players by like a ridiculous margin. Yeah. I'd have to actually like go and like see what it is. Like, we'd have to math it. Gamers are generally like, if you have a game, a tabletop game, there's stinky people who play it. Like, that's just the way it is.
It's absolutely true. I mean, like, and I don't go to that many Magic tournaments. Experience with Magic players is generally in like the game store or comic book store.
See, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
At the big events like the Grand Prix and stuff, you never notice, like, there's never like the blast of stank.
Well, I mean, and that's the way that most tournaments should be. Like, they should be in a big open hall where you're not, dealing with the stank.
But now, I guess
the dank stank.
As someone who does not frequent the local game store after the Magic tournament's there, I can't say if there's the. Perhaps that's where the permeating stench is. But still, I need to know, like, is it 1 in 3 Magic players? Is it 1 in 10? Minis guys, like, there's always a stinky minis guy. Like, whenever I've been to any single, and I said it's personal bias, but every single miniatures tournament I've ever been to, there's always some smelly fuck there. Always. 100%. There's always some dude who smells like he rolled around in piles of shit and garbage and then came into play with his fucking sleeveless t-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, it's
always the sleeveless t-shirt guy.
Always got to be the sleeveless t-shirt guy with the shoulder hair. That's
He's got the big like tufts of shoulder hair.
It's like, what are you doing, man? I was at a local gaming store, and the owner was sitting there, or one of the managers or something was sitting there talking with an old timer, like probably plays some like Command and Colors game or something or other.
But the guy play Napoleonics.
No, the guy. Kind of sounded like this the entire time he was talking. He was like, hey, what's going on with the new Osprey games? I don't know what's going on.
I was losing my shit every time he was talking, because the guy had to be like probably late 50s, early 60s, and just sitting there like, and it, you know, in his like work shirt, like he's a trucker or something.
Hey, you know what's going on with the with this game going on here? You know, I don't know.
I'm just like, oh my god, what is this guy? Where did he come from? What planet did he come from? This is amazing.
He's a Muppet.
I mean, he is a Muppet, but it wasn't like he was like I wouldn't want to talk to this guy. Like I would engage this guy in a conversation just to hear him talk. Like the accent that I'm doing is about as a. The only better way I could say is he sounded a little bit more like Teddy from Bob's Burgers.
Hey, Bob.
Oh,
Bob,
yeah.
What's going on, Bob?
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Kind of like that, but it was a little...
Yeah, we're going to get those burgers.
Yeah, it was a little gruffer, though. That's the thing. And it had a bit of a Chicago accent to it, so I was like, this guy...
It's really hard.
It's very hard to recreate, but I could not stop, like, giggling. I was, like, in the corner giggling. Like, hee-hee-hee, I want to hear this guy talk. But, yeah, the stinky factor, I think part of the reason, too, is that most Magic tournaments or Magic things that I see are at comic book stores as opposed to game stores.
That's true.
And comic book stores have a natural stink to them anyway from just the back issues.
The comic funk.
So I think that adds to it.
Coalesces into a disgusting blob of stank.
Yeah. I mean, like, I worked in a used bookstore for years, so I'm used to the smell of, like old, like, kind of slightly mildewy smell of pulp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of homey to me. Like I walk in and I'm like, you know, this smells like a used bookstore. But with adding in the Magic funk, it's like just like it's awful. But anyway, was that our transition music?
Yes, it was.
All right,
it's a new thing I'm gonna try.
Quick transition music.
Boom. Bum, 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 ba-dum, bum, 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 ba-da-dum.
I don't know. I'm grooving too much to it. I can't like think about what I'm going to talk about next if I'm grooving to the music. Yeah, that's that part. Oh, also want to mention Polar Vortex, of course. Upcoming game tournament that's going to be over at the College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn.
Cod State. Go Whitefish.
Go Whitefish. Of course, it's a local Chicagoland gaming tournament. Lots of stuff going to be going on there, including there's a lot more RPG stuff this time. So if you're not necessarily a 40K player or a bolt action player or a fantasy player, and you want to do more RPG stuff like Pathfinder, that's going to be there. Shadowrun's going to be there. So they're going to be doing a lot more of that stuff, which is, I think, pretty cool. Like one of the things that's kind of weird is that the only real RPG kind of convention / tournament that's around here is Gen Con. Like they don't do a lot of RP. Well, and Gary Con up in Milwaukee, not Milwaukee, Lake Geneva, which is a little different. But we don't normally get that sort of stuff down here. We get a lot of Magic tournaments. We get a lot of mini games tournaments. Yeah. But we don't get a lot of like stuff that deals with RPGs, which I think is kind of cool. And I think we need to start bringing back the RPG.
I don't know, man. RPGs are dying, bro.
I don't think so. Like I mentioned last game, I talked about how I did my Ghost.
I guess I should say RPG events are dying.
I think part of the reason, too, is that people are starting to be reawakened by RPGs, like to RPGs, as opposed to how it's been in the past. Because I know a lot of video gamers who are, they get the RPG mindset. I mean, with a little tweaking, like you have to tell them, this isn't like Final Fantasy. You don't have to talk to everybody in the castle. Like, no, you know, it's like.
But what if they have an item I need?
Yeah, exactly. That sort of thing. Like, it's like, no, you know, it's a little more free form. You don't have to worry about, you know, who's around if you're going to talk to everybody. You don't have to do that. But like with tweaking like that, people really get into it because they're used to that kind of RPG sense already in video games. So if you just bring it to the tabletop, a lot more people are get into it than you'd expect to get into it. And I think that's one of the things that you can do in your own home that's a little bit better than just like, oh, we're going to do a board game night tonight. Okay, that's fine. You know, let's get out Agricola and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I mean, it's easier. It's you don't really need to know any rules to play an RPG.
No, and that's the thing, too, is like if it depends on the type of game you want.
And
like,
if there's a dude who's really into the rules, kick him out of your game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, my advice. It's the difference between me DMing a game and you DMing a game. You DM as if the way that you're going to win the RPG is with TPK.
But the key is it very specifically has to be the players who kill themselves.
Okay, yes. But I mean, that's the way you...
I provide each player rope.
Yes, exactly. Like, you want to do that. Me, I'm more about, like, I create the story. I want my players to play in my story. How can I best manipulate them to play in the story? And so, like, if I'm doing I like doing one-off games, I have a beginning and I have an end planned. I kind of plot out how it's going to go in the middle, and I lead them, you know, with subtle nudges throughout the story to get them to where they need to go. But, you know, like, you're like, here's your rope. Please hang yourself with it.
And I can tell you, most players are like, gee, is this how you tie the noose right?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a nice tree right there.
Yeah, that's looking good.
And so they throw the rope around the tree, and then rocks fall and kill them.
No, it's that thing. You can never be arbitrary. You have to let people... Merc themselves. That's the key.
Merc themselves.
They have to be able to merc themselves.
What's merc?
Like kill. Like merc. It's like, you know, like you got merced. It's like you know.
I've never heard squished. That term before. Oh. So yeah. Man, I like merped.
Merped like like
Middle Earth role playing. You merped yourself. I just like the idea of merp.
Merp.
Yeah, it's the sound that they make after the rock falls and hits them. Merp. Merp. Actually, I was at a used bookstore and a Half Price Books, that's, which one was it? I think it was the one that was over in Downers Grove, not too far from the old bunker. But they had an entire collection of GURPS. I mean, like, when I say entire collection, I mean, think of, like, your bookshelves that you have in your, you have right here. I mean, it's a normal bookshelf for most people, like an IKEA bookshelf. But, like, two whole rows just filled with GURPS books.
Jesus.
I know.
That's a lot of GURPS.
I never, like, I was like... GURPS, like, I didn't even know they made these many books. I knew that they made that many.
Well, no, GURPS was the number one RPG for a while, and when GURPS came out, it started to grow and it was getting bigger, and it got bigger than D&D. A lot of people don't know this, but it
was a brief moment between 1988 to 1989.
It didn't maintain.
Oh, I should say it was between 1989 and 1990. It was a top-selling minigame for spanning two decades.
It just didn't maintain. There's been a lot of moments like that where, like, RPGs would come out, and then Palladium is a good example. Like, they came out, they were getting huge traction, but as D&D did other editions,
yeah,
RPGs that didn't do other editions died.
Well, I mean, it's like the same thing that happened with Pathfinder. Pathfinder, huge for almost... close to 10 years.
Yeah, it crushed the worst edition of D&D.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, 5th edition comes out, and now it's like...
Yeah, well, I mean...
You looked at Volo's Guide yet?
It crushed the video game edition. No, I haven't touched D&D books in a while. I'm D&D 5th edition is not... I have declared it to not be my cup of tea.
No? I think it's great.
Yeah, I've slid back. I'm just... It's all OSR for me. Like,
yeah, and Star Trek when it comes out.
Yeah, well, it's like I want to do OSR. Like, I'm going to look very carefully at the rules for the Star Trek RPG before I bother to go in. Because, like, I want less rules in the game. As few rules as possible is ideal. Because... I don't want to give anybody the opportunity to, like, try and use, like, complicated rule sets or complex systems to try and, like, game the game.
Well, I think with Star Trek, it's a little more interesting because if you know Star Trek and you're playing in a Star Trek universe, you should know that how often are phasers used in Star Trek?
Right.
Not very at all. Like, even, like, ship-to-ship battles, it's, like, always, like, a last resort to use the phasers or the mm-hmm. The photon torpedoes or anything like that. I was going to say proton torpedoes, but that's Star Wars.
You would have looked the fool.
I know. I would have looked the fool. You know, and, like, you want to do stuff that's a little bit more on the talky side in those. Like, you want to have your Kirk moment where the captain's, like, trying to explain, you know, why tweeting about Hamilton is wrong.
No,
you see that. The musical is more about you know, that sort of thing. You don't necessarily want it to be like the Kirk three punch combo. Like, you want that
the axe handle.
Yeah, you want the three punch hand, the three punch combo, but you don't necessarily want that all the time. You want that, like, one event where it's like, oh no, it's a Gorn.
There's a scene if I ever made a humorous film about nerds, one of the scenes would definitely be two guys when they're ambushed in an alleyway by like a bunch of gang members. They look at each other and they're like, what do we do? And he's just like, Kirk combo. And they go, Kirk combo. And they just Kirk combo their way through a huge crowd of people. Just the punch, the knee, and then the X handle.
Yep, that's the way you do it.
Just crack me up.
And then they have to tear their shirt.
Yeah, no, when they came out, their shirts would just be torn. Yes. Like, they're just torn shirts. Like, how did this happen?
Oh, man, that'd be great.
Yeah, the Kirk combo.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of what you'd want out of a Star Trek RPG. You don't need too much action in a Star Trek RPG. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want some because you want, like, the way I would... If I ran a Star Trek RPG, like, seriously, if I ran a campaign to speak, I would structure it almost like a half-hour episode of TOS. Like, exactly. Like, they follow such a pattern that, you know, it would be like, and then, you know, it's like, as you're all of a sudden, a giant head of Abraham Lincoln appears outside of your ship. All right, that's it for this week. We're gonna
red alert.
We'll pick up next week.
4 score and 7 warps ago.
Space Lincoln.
Look out, it's evil Lincoln. Abradolf Linkler.
Abradolf Linkler. So you're finally getting through Rick and Morty.
Oh, I've finished it. I've watched it twice now.
The yeah, it's real easy to blow through.
Yeah.
Feels good. Did you watch Doctor Strange yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Because Dan Harmon, who did Rick and Morty, did some rewrites on Doctor Strange. So I think like a lot of the humorous stuff in Doctor Strange, it kind of feels like almost like that vibe they were going on. So
Dormammu. I've come to bargain. Yeah, it was good.
Dormammu's like, God. I gave it a solid B. It's the problem is that it's one of those things that if you stop for 5 seconds to examine the plot, the entire thing like really, really, really falls apart.
Wizard did it.
Wizard. I hope someone got fired for that one.
Wizard did it.
Yeah, I mean, like there were some real deep problems with that one, but anyway. But
that's the thing. It's when you're doing magic, you have the easiest hand wave explanation ever, and it's just a wizard did it. It's just like old D&D writing. It's just like, but this doesn't make any sense. Oh, a wizard did it. Gygax, that can't be your answer to everything, can't it?
Look at this book. Whose name is on it?
Yeah. Who wrote the book? Me, Gary.
I wish Gary Gygax actually sounded like that.
That's how he sounds to me.
One of the things that I do love about Dungeons and Dragons is that it was created so close to here that you can actually, if you go up to Lake Geneva and you kind of look around, you could find a lot of the original writers of the Dungeons and Dragons materials. Yeah. They're still up there. They're still around. A lot of the old artists who are
farting around.
Yeah, they're still up there kind of just peddling their wares. And you're just like, what? You know, like, Jeff Easley, what are you doing here? He's like, nah, I'm just working at the venture.
Drawing dragons.
Drawing dragons. You're like, all right, okay, cool. Draw me a dragon.
Okay.
Oh, man. So gaming stuff. Not much. We're in the shit time of games. But
those new Thousand Suns Marines look fucking sick.
They do.
They look real cool.
I don't like the Xenagors or Zinchagors.
Oh, the Zangors?
Whatever, Zangors. Those are stupid looking.
Hey. Those aren't the Marines.
I know. It's like you take what you get, you know.
Yeah, that fucking the autocannon is badass looking.
Is it just me or does
Gatling gun?
Or does one eye, what's his name? Magnus the Red.
Magnus.
Does he not look like that one head? He looks like an anime character, like something out of like Berserk or something
like
that.
Yeah, he looks like Zod from Berserk.
Yeah, that's okay. So I wasn't going crazy in that. Yeah. So I do know something about anime.
Yeah.
But I was like looking at it, I'm like, this guy seriously looks like an anime character.
Well, I mean, Berserk's like hugely influential in terms of like, Kingdom Death has like borrowed a lot from Berserk. Dark Souls borrowed a lot from Berserk. Like, you know, Berserk's a very interestingly, hugely influential in the Western fantasy genre, even though it is written by a completely Japanese dude, and it is set entirely in a Western fantasy.
Yeah,
you know, that's one of those. It's like Record of Lotus War. It's like one of those weird like Japanese interpretations of a Western fantasy, and it kind of like builds and creates its own spin-off that then leads to more and more things. So, like, you see like the Berserk effect in a lot of tabletop RPGs and like Shadows of Astarion, you know, and whether or not they like specifically credit Berserk as one of their influences, what influenced them probably was influenced by Berserk.
Yeah, it's it's got this weird kind of like ornately gothic feel to it, but yet it still has the guy who's like shirtless. He's wearing like a piece of chest armor with just the straps, but nothing on underneath it. Where you can see his glistening muscles that are tanned perfectly, and he has like purple hair.
There's totally like some like boys love stuff with Guts and Griffith. There's like a very like distinct sexual tension between the two of them.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've never actually seen Berserk.
Guts is like the big like, you know, muscular character. Griffith is like a super effeminate like long haired dude, and he's like the main antagonist slash. Okay. Main antagonist slash strongest ally in like the first part of the he runs the Band of Thought, because the Berserk starts with a flashback. Like there, it opens up and it's like shit's bad, and then the first like huge chunk
the first huge chunk
of Berserk is a flashback of how did we get here. Yeah. Like how did it get to the thing? So like there's a lot there, but it's a really good series.
I've been like seriously, like I was texting you about this earlier because I've been looking for stuff for my daughter to watch. You know, she's getting
not Berserk.
I know not Berserk. I know that. But I've been looking at stuff because like she's been watching a lot of like really crappy stuff lately, and I'm kind of like let's move away from this. Like, watch something a little different.
How about some reboot?
It looks
so bad.
It does not hold up anymore.
Oh no, it looks so bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's like people who really like reboot, it's just because you watched it when you were a kid. It's not that great anymore.
I liked reboot, but I'm perfectly willing to admit that it is not something that's just like Beast Wars. Like I remember when I saw Beast Wars on TV, I was like, wow, that looks really cool. And like I saw Beast Wars now, I'm just like, oh my god, that is unacceptable.
No.
Yeah, no Beast Wars.
Beast Wars, I will admit, were some of the best Transformers toys, though.
They were fucking sweet.
Those were pretty amazing.
Fucking gorilla that turns into a robot. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
T-Rex.
I'm not like the biggest Transformers fan in the world, but I will admit those toys were cool. I was a G1 Transformers guy. Like, sure. That's when I watched it, and that's when I got my toys.
I still function.
And a lot of my... And so by the time Beast Wars came out, I was a little bit too old for Beast Wars. Just a little bit too old. But I still seeing those toys and going like, fuck, I'd love to own a cheetah that turned into a like a robot.
It's cool.
Or a T-Rex that did that. That's a cool concept. Yeah. I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Now, God damn, I love the G. Like, and all the Transformers toys now suck. They really do suck. You have to get, like, Japanese imports of, like...
Yeah, the Japanese ones are real good.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like, I got a son now, so I'm looking for, like, boy... I'm looking for, like, solid boy toys.
There's a pretty sick Soundwave.
Yeah, is there?
Yeah. He's really fucking cool.
I mean, he's still infinitely too young for that, but whatever. But speaking of... But the cartoon stuff, it's like, I've been looking at stuff for Penny, and, like... One of the things that I was looking at was The Real Ghostbusters. It's pretty good. I mean, it's not...
For the time it came out, like, the fact they used real writers... Like, Michael Straczynski...
J. Michael Straczynski.
He wrote a shit ton of Real Ghostbusters episodes, and they're all really good.
Man, I've been, like... That's the thing I've been pouring in the most during my... My, like, depression, like, my post-election depression has been, like, Babylon 5. Seriously, like, I watch Babylon 5, and I'm just like, I feel good about the world again. It's so good. It's, like, you really need to watch it.
I will, but it's not streaming on anything.
I have it all digital, so if you want it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I will be more than happy to get you the entire series plus all the movies and Crusade, which is the spinoff show that has Gary Cole as the captain of the ship Excalibur.
Mm.
Yeah. And Daniel D. Kim is on it as a psychic. It's actually a pretty good show. I like that show a lot. It's very Sci-Fi Channel before Sci-Fi Channel was like a big thing. You know, it's like,
what about Andromeda with Sorbo?
Oh, God. Andromeda is the worst piece of shit ever.
I've never seen a single episode.
I am one of those guys who, like, I will give any science fiction show a chance, like, especially if it's got a spaceship in it. Like, I'm so space
opera.
This
one's also got Sorbo.
Well, I'm like so space opera the entire time. And I was like, I watched Andromeda for like, I probably watched the entire first two seasons of Andromeda, and I was like, I can't watch this anymore. Every season.
Were you really Sorbo'd with Sorbo?
The first two seasons, I was just like, and then I found out that they changed it. Like, the first season, the second season, completely changed the entire show. And I found that they did that again from second to third season. I'm like, no, I'm done with this. This is a piece of shit show. It really is the worst science fiction show I think I've ever watched.
Farscape's pretty bad.
No, Farscape is amazing.
I am not a fan of Farscape. Other than the fact that the Muppets look good.
Yeah.
Like, the visually, Farscape's great, but, like, I saw a couple episodes and just fucking was like, oh.
No,
but it looked really good.
It gets that's the thing with most sci-fi shows, which is always why why I always give them longer than a year, is because usually by the time they hit second season, the show gets good. I mean, the show will get really good.
Got to find its footing.
Yeah.
That's a fair argument.
Yeah. So that's why you always got to give sci-fi shows 2 years. Like, if I gave Stargate SG-1 only 1 year, I would never, like, watch that show ever again.
There's a fuck ton of Stargate shows.
There's
like an animated series. Well,
that one's not canon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The canon is SG-1, Atlantis, and Universe.
That's the space one, right?
It's not Universe. Maybe it is Universe. I can't.
There's a space one where they're on a fucking ship, right?
Yeah, that's that one, yeah.
And the ship's got an AI or something?
Yeah.
Or it's alive?
Oh, it's like it's on a pre-programmed destination.
Okay.
Like, they can't really do too much with it. But the problem is that Universe was like, people at sci-fi were like, oh, this Battlestar Galactica is doing really good. Let's copy that with Stargate. And then, so they tried to make like Stargate Battlestar Galactica, and it was not that good.
Mm.
But the I will watch Stargate SG-1 and Atlantis all the time. Those shows are they're such good like pickup like I'm just gonna watch an episode of Stargate, and it's like it's usually pretty good, and they kind of build a really solid universe.
No, it's got MacGyver.
It's got MacGyver in it. Teal'c is one of the better supporting characters of all time. And it's even got like half the cast of Farscape in it as well in the later seasons. But yeah, Farscape, it gets really good later. Like really, like it gets like, let's ask these higher question like sci-fi shows that I really enjoy with that.
Nice.
But anyway, back to what I was saying, the real Ghostbusters, not the animation is pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
And compare, some of the animation is really good.
There's a few episodes where you can tell that they had more budget or something, where they did a lot of, like, they did really good lighting. There's some shots with the Ecto-1, like, driving at night and, like, the light playing off of the Ecto-1's, like, really nice. And it's weird because in that same episode, you'll see, like, really bad animation, but then you'll also see really good animation.
Yeah, I think part of the weird thing one of the things that sucks is that the places where I stream it from, it's all low res quality.
Oh,
it's all, like, TV, like, VHS copy off TV. Collect Call of Cthulhu, which is the one I wanted to watch because I remember liking that as a kid. That one was just the worst quality ever, and I was just like, I gotta find a better copy of this if I'm gonna show it to Penny. But I've been looking for stuff, and I think
they're available on Blu-ray, so there's probably going to be a high quality rip at some point.
Probably somewhere. I usually will stream things from this website called Watch Cartoons Online. Mm-hmm. They have everything.
Sure.
But I was thinking, like, I wonder if Penny would like certain anime shows. Like, I was wondering, like, what would be kind of a appropriate level?
Sailor Moon.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't know if I want her to watch Sailor Moon.
All of the older stuff, like Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Not Dragon Ball. She'd probably be bored by Dragon Ball Z, but Dragon Ball is actually really good. Dragon Ball is much better than Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like Dragon Ball Z is, like, completely usurped, like, how good the original Dragon Ball is.
Yeah.
But the original Dragon Ball is a very good series, and Z kind of, like, just took it in a totally different direction that was not as, you know, the original is like funny, you know, like the characters are really important, and then, you know, from Z forward it's all just about punching.
Yeah.
But in the first one it's about, you know, the adventure, and like there's comedic moments.
The adventure.
Yeah.
The greatest adventure.
God. Well, that was the other thing that I was texting you about was Lord of the Rings.
They're bad.
Because watching I kind of screwed it up when I was talking about it earlier on a different podcast, but so it was Bakshi did The Hobbit. Ralph Bakshi, I believe.
No, Ralph Bakshi did The Lord of the Rings with Boromir and the rotoscoping.
So that was Bakshi. Okay, so it was Rankin-Bass.
Rankin-Bass did The Hobbit and Return of the King.
And Return of the King. And then Bakshi.
There's no two towers.
Bakshi did the original Lord of the Rings,
right,
one.
With the rotoscoping.
That one is terrible.
It has some great scenes and it has some good animation, but the rotoscoping is fucking awful.
Yeah,
but then they did the orcs and stuff.
Then they did the Return of the King one, which looks a lot more like The Hobbit.
Yes.
Which is
because it's Rankin-Bass.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's some great scenes. I mean, they all have like
with the witch. The Witch King is the cool ass scene.
None of them are as good as the sum of their parts, but all of them have some very good sequences in them. Like when like Boromir. And like when Boromir defends the hobbits in The Lord of the Rings, that's very good. The character design's really weird though. Like Thranduil, or he from Rankin Bass, Thranduil looks like a fucking like goblin.
All the elves look really kind of
except
creepy.
For Legolas, who looks like gorgeous.
Yeah.
So it was really weird.
I love the original Hobbit, the Rankin Bass Hobbit. I think
Smaug with his fucking car headlight eyeballs.
Cole's laughing at the background at that one. But I mean, it's like you could watch a 9-hour version of The Hobbit, the Peter Jackson one, which is great for someone like me and you. Like we could be like, oh, okay, this is
well, yeah. It's a cartoon. You know, it is serviceable at what it's trying to do.
But I mean, like an hour and a half version of The Hobbit. Sometimes you're just like, I could watch this. this is fine. My only problem with it is Riddles in the Dark goes too long.
One of the things that's nice about the animated versions that was my only real complaint about all of the Peter Jackson films is. All the animals talk in the animated ones.
Yeah.
Because that was a huge part of Tolkien. Like everything was supposed to be an intelligent beast. So like when the dwarves were hiding in the trees from the wargs and the orcs, like the wargs were fucking taunting them with a song. They were like singing about how they're going to eat them. Like, you know, that not being in the movie, I think takes away a bit from like how like magic rich the Tolkien universe is.
If I ever...
And like the eagles, that's one of the things you always know when someone doesn't know anything about Lord of the Rings, when they say like, why didn't the eagles just do? And it's just like, if you start a question with that, you don't know anything about Lord of the Rings.
Giving it up in the Hotel California.
Fucking hate the eagles, man.
I actually do hate the eagles, but the,
there's a beverage here,
but the, what was I going to say? Oh, if I ever am in a one ring game with you as the DM, I fully expect you to be singing songs throughout the entire thing. Yeah.
You have to sing songs.
Yeah.
That's that. Tolkien is all about music.
Yeah.
You have to say, you know, down to Goblin Town, which I really enjoyed that they did put some songs in The Hobbit. I liked that. That was very nice. I was like, yes.
Yeah. I love the Hobbit one with like the guitar, like bow, 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 bow. It's like the slap bass going on. You're like, yeah, metal. Like, I almost want a animated version of that, like an updated version of the animated Hobbit, like relatively the same. Maybe clean up a couple things here, add a little bit more here. I love the characters. Let's keep the character designs like as close as possible, but let's just update the music and just let. Like modern musicians just take it over. Like I would love to see like the Fleet Foxes do some of the Hobbity stuff, like the Misty Mountain song or the Greatest Adventure or something like that.
David the Gnome. I also suggest David the Gnome. I loved David the Gnome when I was a little kid.
Yeah. But I was just saying, but like let's update it with like, and then you get like let's get Primus to do like the Goblin Town song, like
fucking Primus, pork soda.
Yeah, exactly. Like when Winona's got a big brown beaver, like that type of like slapping. You know, like I want that for my Goblin Town song. You know, stuff like that. Let's add some more songs in there and do all sorts of crazy crap. That's what I want. Anyway, let's get back to some gaming stuff. Not that there's that much. So Asmodee is doing their winter sale, the first one since they bought out Fantasy Flight. So the pickings ain't that big this year.
There's a lot of discount 40K stuff.
Yeah, the RPG stuff and the Living Card Game stuff. The only war game that they actually have on sale is Relic, which is kind of disappointing. Forbidden Stars, Cast in the Old World, like a lot of those games. Even the Blood Bowl card manager, not for sale.
Right.
Which kind of sucked. Like, I was expecting that, but...
Well, I mean, I just don't think they have a lot of backstock on that stuff. You know, they knew when it was coming earlier than anyone else did, so they probably didn't do reprints.
That could be it, too. You know, that could be the thing. But, I mean, they got a ton of dust backstock. So, if you're looking for dust stuff in 1/35th scale, go ahead. You know, buy it to your heart's content. But, yeah, what is it? The Dark Heresy?
There's Dark Heresy. There's Black Crusade, and
all of those books are like $5.
Only War is a couple other ones.
All of those books are like $5 a piece.
Yeah, super cheap.
I kind of wanted to pick it up, and I'm like,
why the hell would I pick all that stuff up?
I don't know.
There's no reason whatsoever why I would pick up any of that stuff. Some of the Wifrup third edition stuff I was kind of looking at too. They had like two books for second edition I was looking at. But I was like, I'm never going to play Warhammer RPG. To me, a 40K RPG is like sheer boredom. Like, there's no reason I'd ever want to play
it. Rogue Trader would probably be really fun.
But I mean,
because Rogue Trader is not like the thing that's cool is like, so 40K is an interesting beast, as it were, because there's actually a very cool universe in 40K that they never tell you about. Like, the coolest stuff in 40K...
Yes, because if they did, they would get sued by the Asimov estate, because it's completely stolen from him.
But they never tell you about, like, the dudes are, like, rolling around having adventures. It's always just, like, you know, Space Marines versus orcs.
Yeah, it's grimdark.
Well, but, like, there's a whole, like, world of, like, you know, like, there's, like, cyberpunk stories and steampunk stories and, like, you know, a rogue trader. Like, there's Blade Runner. Like, all sorts of shit that's happening that's super cool, which I think you could do really well in Rogue Trader, and it would be set on that backdrop of the familiar 40K universe for people.
Hold on a second. So,
Rogue Trader. There's lots of cool stuff you can do with that, and you can have the background of, like, being in 40K. So it's like, oh, we need to go, you know, smuggle this cargo. It's like, well, we can't go to Ares 3 because, you know, the Space Marines are fucking battling Eldar there. It's like, oh, well, then let's not do that.
Well, I mean, and that's the bigger problem is, like, yes, I agree with you that 40K does have this cool world that's never touched on, but the problem is that all of that cool stuff that's never touched on is stolen from a different IP.
Yeah, obviously. A bunch of their shit's stolen from Starship Troopers.
Well, yeah.
The Eldar arguably were stolen from Starship Troopers. Like, quasi, like...
Skinnies?
Yeah, they were skinnies. You know, like, they're like... you know, but
the original,
then again, yeah. Everything's stolen from everything.
Yeah. Well, the original idea of the Eldars was pretty much just the skinnies. But, I mean, like, the whole idea of the Imperium is completely straight out of Asimov. The Rogue Trader's completely out of Asimov, out of Foundation. Starship Troopers, that's Space Marines right there. Space Marines and Tyranids.
Yeah.
And somewhat Eldar.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same thing as Warhammer. Warhammer's all, you know, ripped from Tolkien,
yeah.
But 40K is it's a more compelling mashup. That's all it is, you know.
That you're exactly right. It's a compelling mashup. Like that, oh, this is exactly what we want.
Yeah, which is why, I mean, as far as lore goes, like Age of Sigmar is far more interesting than the old world ever was. Like the weirdness it's got going on is like much cooler than
I don't know.
The old world.
I still like my high fantasy.
But it's
the
thing. There's so much high fantasy out there. It's nice to have a different take on it.
I guess. I really like the lore that they built up.
I like because it's more sword and sorcery. I think that's Age of Sigmar has. But they turned a formerly like Tolkien-esque high fantasy universe into a like Conan sword and sorcery weird.
Yeah, there is
fantasy.
There is a little bit more of that like. Like, this is something that Moorcock would have been writing about
I mean, Frazetta. Fucking Sigmarines look like a Frazetta painting.
Well, I'm trying to think of maybe more like Zalanzi, like Roger Zalanzi, like that sort of thing, like multiple universes and like traveling through and fighting
warp gates and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, like maybe that. Like,
or
I could,
Realm Gates, I
yeah,
should
Realm
say.
Gates. I mean, it's definitely not like Dragon Riders of Pern or some shit like that. You ever read that?
No.
No. I could never get into it. Like as a teenager,
there's a famous fantasy series that I read and I can't remember for the life of me. I can barely remember the story, other than the fact that I read it, found out much later that it was a very famous series. It's about a band of mercenaries.
Oh, Black Company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's what I read. And I was like, oh, this is really good. I liked that a lot. But
Black Company is one of my favorites. I've read like the first six books of the series. It's great. It's very proto what Dan Abnett does in the 40K universe.
That was big when I was younger. Like I really, really liked, like I liked Tolkien and I liked that Black Company a lot.
Yeah.
And then Stephen King, like I said, I didn't actually read a shit ton of fantasy when I was younger. I read a lot of, you know, outside of Black Company and Tolkien, I read a lot of Stephen King. Like that was my jam. And then American Psycho and like all sorts of, you know,
I was.
That was what I read. Fight Club.
When I was a teenager and a high schooler, in high school and college, I read. That's when I started reading a lot of fantasy. But before that, it was mostly like like if I was gonna sit down and read a book, it was a classic. Like I read like Moby Dick or Last Mohicans or something like that. And
yeah, I don't think I've read any of them. I don't think I've read any of the classics other than like Treasure Island. I've read Treasure Island.
Yeah, I mean.
But most of them I just didn't like. I was just like, this is dumb.
There's something to be said for them. But at the same time, it's kind of like, they're not that great.
I feel that literature in many cases is overrated. Just in general. Like, things like, it's like, why is this book popular? Well, because it's popular. It's like, what's Mark Twain? Well, what's good about that? It's Mark Twain.
there's certain books, like, I divide books into seriously three categories. There's books you have to read in school. Like, you have to read them because they are seminal books that they touch on a cultural milestone, and there's so much that's referenced about those books that if you don't know them, you're going to be lost as an American, as a human being. Like, you should... Like, especially if you're an American.
I had to read when I was Puerto Rican.
Well, I'm just saying, like a person in England does not have to necessarily read Huckleberry Finn. But if you are American, you better damn well read Huckleberry
Finn.
That's
our word.
Yeah.
N-word, Jim.
Well, I mean, there's so much about the American experience and like America's growing pains in that book that if you don't read that, you're going to miss out on it. Like if you think that you could casually toss around the N-word, you have not read Huckleberry Finn and understood it. Like
I'm fairly certain I didn't read that in school and I've forgotten it. Like, I mean,
but you've read it and you at least have some sort of cultural knowledge of it. Like, everyone should read The Great Gatsby. Everyone should read. I would hate that everyone would have to read this, but you probably should have to read The Scarlet Letter. The Crucible. For Christ's sakes, should read The Crucible.
I watched The Crucible.
It's mine. It's actually a pretty good adaptation Winona Ryder, but...
We watched The Crucible in English class instead of reading the book.
Yeah.
And then...
You wanna round people up based upon the way that they think with this. You should probably read The Crucible first. You know, like, that's like that type of literature, like that cultural model. Then they have the classics, which are like, take them or leave them. You probably should read them because a lot of people are going to reference them. Treasure Island, Last of the Mohicans,
Lord
Moby Dick, Lord of the Flies, another great one. Don Quixote is another one that I think everyone should read. No one ever actually reads Don Quixote.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
20,000 Leagues, Jules Verne, stuff like that. Like, those are books like that. And then you have... all other fiction. Read that stuff at your will. You know, like, some of it's more important than others, but, you know, none of it is going to be so culturally important that you have to read it, you know, out of that stuff.
I think as time goes on, that is all the cultural importance and gravitas that those old books have is just fading.
You know, the difference is that more books get added to that as, you know, as time goes on. I actually think that, certain books get pulled out of it. Like, probably... 20 to 30 years ago, the Wizard of Oz books were in there. Now they're pulled out. And now I think books that are in there are like Lord of the Rings and the Harry Potter series are kind of in that. Like, you probably should read these books, even though they're not great literature, but they're just important to like understand what's going on in terms of the world. Like, they're kind of cultural milestones at that point. Certain books are always going to be in there. Moby Dick is in there. I don't know why it's in there. I've read Moby Dick twice in my life right now, and yep, it's a book about a guy going after a whale.
He really wants to kill the shit out of that whale.
He wants to kill that whale. And I mean, granted, it says something about man versus nature and man versus himself and blah blah blah, other things you learn in English class, but it's still like, you're like, yep, I know this. You shouldn't get so like, you know, into your own world that, you know, it's going to kill you. Like, I get this. It's
either that or just come up with a better plan to kill the fucking whale.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily need to read 600 pages about whaling to really get
this. We're whalers on the moon. Yeah. We carry a harpoon. We sing tall tales, but we catch no whales because there aren't any on the moon.
All right. So that's enough on Joe's literature corner right there. Sorry about that, guys. But I do think it's important. Like, there's certain books in the UK, in France, in Spain that are culturally important that they read.
Les Miserables?
Les Miserables, yeah. In the UK, it's like half of the Dickens catalog, you know? In Spain...
Or it's Christmas Day, sir!
That book is terrible. Oh, the story is terrible. It's not really a book.
Why you gotta be hating on Scrooge?
It's...
I've seen so many adaptations of that. I'll just sit there.
I don't deserve to be so happy.
I'll just watch Scrooged and be okay with it.
Yeah.
You get everything you need out of Scrooge.
It's
Bobcat
true.
Goldthwait, Alfred Woodard, Bill Murray.
What are you doing?
Karen Allen, they're all in there. It's great. Or I'll go see the Klingon Christmas Carol, which they produce every year in Chicago, which is pretty good.
Kapla.
Kapla. Have you ever? You never saw that.
No.
You should. You should go down and see the Klingon Christmas Carol.
Maybe
I think
I will.
I think you'd enjoy it.
Maybe
I will. My friend Christina's in it almost every year. I don't think she's in it this year. She just had a baby. So, the best thing is that they're all like next generation Klingons with the forehead prosthetics and all the costumes. But then the Ghost of Christmas Past is actually dressed like an original series Klingon.
Nice.
It's so like I was like in the theater and he shows up and I just laugh out loud and no one else is laughing. I'm like, come on, that's clever.
It's good. I like that.
So yeah, I don't really have any other gaming stuff. The only thing, I played the PlayStation VR last night.
Yeah,
the first time.
You mentioned that.
Yeah, I played Kitchen. Yeah. I had no idea what it was. You know about it.
Yeah,
obviously,
I know about
but
it.
But have you watched it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't do it in the VR.
No.
Oh,
no. I think the VR would make me vom. Like, that stuff usually messes with my equilibrium and I get nauseous.
This one's not too bad because there's not...
Oh, you're strapped to a chair.
Yeah, you're strapped to a chair through it. And I'll tell you what, like, because they said, like, the guy who brought it over was just like, oh, you're going to, you can play Kitchen. And I'm like, oh, what is this? Like, I got to make some omelets or something like that? That's what it is. I got to break
some
eggs.
You're going to make an omelet, all right. Yeah.
So it opens up and I'm in that room and I'm like, oh, this is not a kitchen simulator. This is terrifying. And I like being terrified. I'm like one of those guys who likes to scream in the theaters and jump in my seat. Like, I enjoy that. And I was like, this is a bit much. This is
it's fucking scary with the fucking hands coming.
Oh my god. That part. I mean, okay. So if you want to play PlayStation VR or you want to just look at it online, pause it right here, watch Kitchen, because I don't want to spoil it, but I'm sure most of you guys don't care. So I'll give you a second. All right, so we're back. So basically, you're strapped to a chair and this you know, your hands are tied up. You know, you're holding the controller, so it's kind of nice because your hands are, like, you know, you look like you're
it feels like your hands are bound because you're holding the controller.
Really clever. I like that concept a lot. The only thing that you could do in the game is literally move your hands so you can knock over a camera or something like that.
Mm.
And like, there's some guy tied up on the floor next to you. You knock over the camera, wakes him up. He gets up, he finds a knife, and he's trying to cut you loose. But as he's trying to cut you loose, all of a sudden from behind him, this insane zombie girl monster just kind of pops up behind it and just like, and stabs him. And I'm just like, holy shit. Like, I'm like rocking in my seat. Like, I'm terrified at this moment. He fights her off and she chases him out the door or something like that. And you hear all this stuff going on around you. You have no idea. Like, it's the thing that's the best about the VR is that the sensory with
the 3D, audio's got to be great.
The 3D headphones and the fact that you can look behind you and you see what's going on around you completely makes it more interesting. Because if you just watch a video of it and you're just looking straight ahead, or even if the camera does move, you don't get that, like...
The nice thing is most of the videos are direct transfer. So, like, if they look to the light, like, you see everything.
But, I mean, like, even though that's the thing is, like, you do see everything, but it's... You can't... Like, the want of moving your head around is so great when you're listening to it with the 3D headphones that the fear that builds up, and then the head comes flying in at you, and you're like, oh, shit. And then you hear the person coming towards you. You don't know where it's coming from multiple angles. You don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden, just, like, the hands just come around your face, and you're just like, holy shit. It was one of the best experiences I ever had with a video game where I'm literally doing nothing throughout the entire game. There's no game to it. Mm. It's like just like a visual movie. And I'm like,
this is a teaser for Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, and I was saying to myself, it's like, if this was like the future of movies or video games, like where I don't have to play anything and I'm just like experiencing this, I would be very happy because it was such a great visceral experience of just like, ah, like pure fear and terror.
Well, there's that diving one too, where like there's a shark chasing you.
That one was I played that one too. One wasn't that great. I mean,
how about Rush of Blood? That one looked good.
Rush of Blood was good, but that was more of like a video game,
right?
Like that's more of
it's
like
a shooter.
Yeah, you're in a train, like a carnival roller coaster cart, and you're going around shooting stuff, which is fine. And the ability to have the guns to like even like if something scares you, just to shoot it, even if it doesn't do anything, is pretty comforting.
Yeah.
But the fear from Kitchen of not being able to do anything was so cool. Like, I would love something like that. I played the Batman one, too, where, you know, you're solving the crime and you're going around. That one was pretty neat. The inability to, like, really move in that game hampered it.
Mm-hmm.
And the story was terrible. But the overall, pretty interesting together. I was pretty impressed by it. I was like, if normally... Like with the PlayStation Move or the Kinect and stuff like that, I've played that before. I wasn't impressed by it. Like even the Wii, I'm not impressed by like motion controls. But this with the sensory thing and how well it was put together, I was like, holy shit, this is literally the future of video gaming. If they could figure out how to make it so that you can move and you still get that kind of sensory feel to it, that they've sold me on it. Like, this is unbelievably cool. I played some shooting gallery games too. That was pretty fun.
Hmm.
But it's and the motion control was really good. I mean, it was smooth. I would like to see it with some gloves. Like, you have the controller or you have the sticks, but I'd like to see it like let's put some gloves.
Well, there's the Vive has they're like a weird you like slide your hands into them and they're like almost like trigger things.
Yeah.
Supposedly that's the best of all the VR controllers because it's the most like organic feeling.
Yeah, I would think that if they actually came out with some good like gloves that you could put on that you know move your fingers and everything like that, it would move your fingers like in the game. That would probably be the best. But until then, it's like this is pretty good. This is like the sticks felt pretty good for like shooting and everything like that. They actually felt like good triggers and everything like that. I was shocked at how much I liked it because I normally hate
stuff like
that.
Could be a cool MechWarrior
like
game.
You could do so much cool stuff with that, like Robotech or maybe Evangelion.
That'd be sweet.
I'm moving too fast.
Get in the fucking ship. Get in the mech, Shinji.
I hate that show.
It's not very good.
I don't know.
Well, actually, one of them is not very good.
It's all the same to me.
That's a show that's been remade a bunch of times.
Anything else that we want to talk about gaming wise? I really like it's all Christmas. It's going to be Black Friday sales next week, so yep. Like I would just keep an eye open for that. Most people are going to have stuff for like 10-15% off. I know Arena Rex is doing their annual Saturnalia sale, so if you want to pick up stuff, I think it's at 10% off. You can pick up your Warband fairly cheap that way. I think they're doing an Adepticon pre-reg is opening soon. So if you're going to Adepticon, that's going to be coming up.
Adepticon!
I really think we should do an event this year. I really think we should do something.
Like host an event?
Yeah. Like maybe.
Don't you need to like submit that like in far in advance?
Yeah. I'll talk to Chua. I'll have Tim talk to Chua. He could get me in. He's a good contact.
Are we doing that. the toga tournament?
We could do that.
The togament.
You know what? That's actually something I was thinking about too. Was maybe do like a beer and pretzels trivia contest. That might be cool. Like just like get like a small room, get a couple tables, and just do like straight up. Like okay, we're gonna have these are our categories. We got Warhammer, War Machine, and like. I don't know. Or we go like minis games, tabled role playing games, blah blah blah.
CCGs,
yeah, CCGs, or you know, Fantasy Flight. You know, whatever. We could just like make up the categories as is and just have people do it that way, and then you could fart in the microphone all the time. So nice. That would work. I think that would be pretty fun.
Nice.
I don't know. I kind of want to do something because I don't know if I'm going to be playing in the Bolt Action tournament this year. Kind of like burnt down on tournaments. I've kind of just been like, I don't want to play tournaments anymore.
Bolt Action.
I'm just kind of tournamented out with a lot of stuff. I'll probably play the team tournament again, but aside from that, I don't know. But any other gaming stuff? No. There's been not a ton of releases or anything like that. Witchborn Kickstarter. I mentioned them on a couple podcasts back. They're local guys. All of their gaming stuff is done on the mats instead of like building your own terrain. And it's all computerized, so like random events are all completely on your iPhone on an app. Their new Kickstarter went up. It's supported with minis this time from Bones.
Ooh.
So I think it's like $145. You get everything, including like all of the warbands and stuff like that. So I would definitely take a look at it. Witchborn. I think they're only asking for like $20,000, and they got like 20 days left on the Kickstarter. They're about halfway there. So I would definitely take a look at it if you have a small gaming group where you're looking for a really good warband experience. I would suggest this because I had a lot of fun playing it the few times that I did. So look into that one as well. Other Kickstarter stuff, I don't know. Who knows? In a week or two, we could be nuked by Russia. So
no, that's not likely.
No, you don't think so?
No, are you kidding me? We're gonna be puppetly controlled by Russia.
Oh. Putin's puppets.
That's right.
Dun da da dun da da dun da da dun da da dun da dun 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 dun. It's all right. Vodka for everyone, man.
Vodka.
I got enough Polish in me that I understand the Slavic nature of such is life. Where it's like where you sit there and it's like, oh man, we're in communist control. Huge bread lines, but it could get worse, and it does.
And it did.
Yes. And that's kind of the way that I'm like, yeah, things could probably get worse, and they probably will. But anyway, so don't be depressed about Trump. Work to change. That's going to be my motto. Work to change. Let's change this. Let's not sit there and complain with our thumbs up our ass. And, you know, post on Facebook, let's actually do something at the local governmental level to make things better for our fellow human beings.
I still stand by. Arm yourself. Stay indoors.
Yeah. I mean, either one. Column A, column B. However, most of column B are the ones who probably voted for Trump. I didn't say that. But anyway.
Hey, they got the Klan on their side. They can't be that wrong.
And on that note, go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
Play on Steve.
Like the Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast, all one word. The best way you can help out the podcast is to like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. You could also listen to us on the Ubtubs. You know, we're Game Classy Podcast. It's this podcast with a picture, and that's it. I'm not putting that much effort into it.
You can also search on Facebook for Weebtown, which is the new Japanese podcast that I'm doing with Giuseppe.
Oh, really? Weebtown?
Weebtown, one word.
Oh, isn't that like a racial slur?
I don't think so.
I
mean, if it is, it's a racial slur towards white people who really want to be Japanese.
I guess that's true. Did somebody say weeaboo?
Weeaboo. Weeaboo.
I like how everyone goes to the Saturday morning breakfast cereal.
That's what it's from.
That Saturday morning breakfast
cereal. Perry Bible Fellowship.
Perry Bible Fellowship.
That's the origin of the word weeaboo. And then like someone just decided to collate that with what you would like call a Japanophile like before.
Yeah.
They're just like, look, now we're going to do weeaboo now.
I guess. Internet works in strange and mysterious ways, Steve.
It does. Meme magic. Meme magic got our president elected.
He's a wizard, Harry.
He's a living, walking, talking meme. So you're gonna have a fucking meme in office.
So you're gonna be doing three podcasts.
Yeah.
And about anime now.
Yeah. Well, it's not just gonna be anime. It's about anything from Japan.
Anything from Japan?
Yeah. Lot of anime, though.
I would imagine so. And delicious anime treat, delicious Japanese treats that you enjoy.
That's there's
the
also weird, that.
The strange candies. But you're still on your diet, so you can't.
I can't
those strange
I can't
candies.
Eat them now, but I can talk about ones I've eaten. Every burger is still my favorite.
There you go.
It's really good.
You could also listen to our sister podcast, Weebtown, which Steve is going to be doing. I don't know if that's going to be under the Planet Arbitrary banner, but probably. Comic Book Logic, which is hosted by myself and Kevin, where we talk about comic book movies. We just did Doctor Strange, spoiler heavy podcast, and we're going to be doing the 1967 classic Barbarella. Barbarella.
You should do the Doctor Strange made for TV movie too.
We could, but probably won't anytime soon. Barbarella.
I've never seen Barbarella.
It's I don't want to spoil too much for the podcast, but
it's incredibly, the filmmakers did something incredibly hard, which was to make a comedic sex romp neither comedic nor sexy.
Is anything like that Sean Connery movie where he's in that, like,
Zardoz? No, it's nowhere near as good as Zardoz. God, Zardoz is such a terrible movie, but it's fun.
It's Sean Connery in a fucking orange Speedo and a laser gun.
I was just, you know what old sci-fi movie I just rewatched?
Outland?
No, Outland's all right.
That movie is, like, bad, and then at the end when everyone's head starts exploding, it's like, yeah!
I know exactly what you're talking about. No, Battle Beyond the Stars.
Never seen it.
It's the John Carpenter remake of The Magnificent Seven in outer space.
All right.
Not terrible. Fantastic soundtrack. It's like the equivalent of like the sci-fi version of Krull.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like Krull. Where you're like, I like Krull. Then you watch Krull. You're like, Krull's not that good, but I still like Krull.
Yeah, I still like Krull.
I'll defend Krull.
Yeah. Also a pretty good arcade game.
The glaive. The glaive is one of the thing with Krull is like, you're always like, man, Krull's kind of stupid. And then he whips out the glaive and you're like, oh, glaive.
So fucking cool.
So cool. It's got knives. It's got five knives. Or was it? No, it's five. It's not four. It's five.
It's five.
Yeah, it's like a star.
Yeah, it looks like a weird kind of star thing.
Yeah. How he doesn't cut his hands on it, I don't know. And he throws it at the big mountain monster and it just kind of spins there. It's like, what the hell is going on?
Wizard did it.
I mentioned this on the last on Comic Book Logipod because we're talking about our favorite like on screen wizards, and I totally forgot about the wizard from Krull, like the guy who turns himself into the tiger. I'm like, he was kind of a shitty wizard, but he's still like a fun kind of bumbly wizard.
Yeah,
yeah. And he's got and my favorite Cyclops of all time, who can see his own death, and that he sacrifices himself. Ah, oh, such a good movie. Ah. Oh. God, I love those old, like, 60s and 70s adventure sci-fi fantasy movies.
Krull's from the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, the early 80s. I mean, because you got to include, like, Beastmaster and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, Dar.
Dar the Beastmaster. And what was the other one?
That was a terrible TV show, too.
The Last Starfighter.
I love The Last Starfighter.
Last Starfighter still holds up to me. That movie, I just watched it recently, and I'm like, this movie holds up. I don't care what anyone says. And what was the other one? Oh, the original Clash of the Titans. That movie's amazing.
It's got that's the last Harryhausen film.
Yes, one of the best movie soundtracks of all time. One of the best.
Except for that stupid fucking owl Bubo.
Bubo? How can you not like Bubo?
It's fucking stupid. Why is there a robot owl?
It's a robot owl. What's wrong with
that? Doesn't make any goddamn sense.
It's not a robot owl. It's a clockwork owl.
Whatever. It's fucking ancient Greece.
You can have
they don't have clocks.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
Historical records from that time are sketchy at best.
I do know that they did not have clockwork.
Hey, Antikythera mechanism. Look it up. We also have a Play On podcast where Steve and Pat are talking about the NES Classic Edition. That's probably, was that what the last one was about?
Oh, people are spending so much fucking money on those things.
Have they never heard of emulators?
Not even that. It's just like there's also like where it's going to be restocked at normal price.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it just seems weird because it's like, okay, so it has a lot of the games built into it. How many games does it have on
30
there?
30 games.
So 30 games. Does it have Zelda?
Yeah.
Does it have Mega Man?
I believe so.
Okay.
It has Castlevania for sure.
Castlevania.
Final Fantasy.
It has Final Fantasy on it? That's not too bad. And what about...
The library is really good. The 30 games on there are very good.
What about
good.
Metroid?
Does it have Metroid?
Okay. So it's got all the games that you want in there. But two things about the classic NES. One, those games are not as great as you remember them. They're hard as fuck, especially.
They're really hard.
Yeah. And nowadays.
Dude, that's the thing. Kids nowadays, they don't know anything about Nintendo hard. They're going to learn.
That first Goomba killed more people than Hitler. Two things is, one, all of those games are already available online with an emulator. And emulators, it's not that hard to find good emulators.
But it's not the same.
And number two is, the NES controller is the worst controller known to mankind. It hurts your hand so much because, A, it's made for small Japanese hands.
The Famicom controller is a different controller.
No,
altogether.
I'm talking the one on the classic NES.
Right.
One,
that was the American controller, not the Japanese controller.
Yeah, but wasn't that the original Japanese
controller, too? The original Japanese controller on the Famicom, there were two, and they were built into the console. Like, you actually pulled them out of the console. They were not accessories, and they actually had rounded corners. They didn't make the squared corners until they redesigned the NES.
But they were still small, right?
They were small, yeah, but they're not...
I'm not necessarily talking about the square part. I'm just talking, like, they're small right now. Like,
oh, yeah,
when you're playing with it, you don't realize how...
close your hands have to be together when you play it. And the second
part... Also, the last time most people have held an NES controller, their hands were much smaller.
Yeah. I mean, like, now with, like, our Monster American, like, let's eat burgers hands.
When they redesigned the NES to the top load, they actually released a new controller.
They did,
that was
yeah.
shaped like the Super Nintendo controller, but it was a Nintendo controller.
Yeah.
And that's much nicer.
And that's the other thing, is the square edges on that thing hurt so bad. And, like... Nintendo were bastards with that, because they would put things in the game where you have to hit the button rapidly, and like you'd have to like rub your hands against it. So like there's a classic put your finger in the shirt and do it.
Yep.
But even still, you would tear skin off your fingers like nobody's business.
Love it.
No way. That's nostalgia goggles.
Oh,
for
dude,
me,
I love the old Nintendo games. I love them because they're fucking hard. They're like they don't hold your hand, which is nice. And then I mean, and some of them are. I like
not all of them.
Oh, it's got Star Tropics too.
Oh, Star Tropics.
Love Star Tropics.
Pat probably hates Star Tropics.
I don't know why. It's fucking great.
He hates Earthbound, which is just an updated version of Star Tropics.
Yeah, well, whatever.
But yeah, that's the certain games are like Star Tropics is a good example of a game that's hard, but it's not unfair. Yeah, unfair.
There were plenty of shovelware Nintendo games that were just literally like terribly unfair garbage and not fun.
Yeah.
But you know, none of those are going to be on the little console.
Mega Man is a
Mega Man's fucking hard.
Mega Man is hard, but Mega Man was also an example of a game that gave you a chance.
Yeah, it's fair. But it's fucking hard. It's Castlevania, it's the same way. Like, you need to play it in a certain way and, like, understand that, like, the game's not going to forgive you.
Yeah.
If the game is punishing.
I mean, the only thing...
Ghosts and Goblins, holy fuck, that game is hard.
Because the only Mega Man game that I never beat, because I could never, like, literally push myself to the level of beating it, was Mega Man 2. I beat Mega Man 1, 3, and 4.
That's weird, because 1 is so much harder than 2.
I never thought 1 was that hard. Well, 3 is the easiest out of the, at least 1, 2, and 3. 4 was way easier than the rest, but that was like when things were starting to get like, let's make these so that people can actually beat them.
Mm-hmm.
2 was, it's the Quick Man level. With the laser beams.
Yeah.
Like, that was the only one that was like, I can't... Like, it's too fucking hard.
You gotta
use
Flashman's power to pause
him. Well, yeah, exactly. But I mean, even then, it was like, this is way too fucking hard. Like, I couldn't do it. Like, I would try and I would get myself in cold sweats and a heart pump. It was the same way I felt playing Kitchen, playing the Quick Man level of Mega Man 2. But anyway, so until next time, Steve.
Stay classy.
Game classy.